Hi, friend. Welcome to the No Farting Around Show. I'm Ashley May Fernandez, and I help entrepreneurs like you show up as their unfiltered selves and fall absolutely in love with creating content that is an energetic match to their soul-aligned clients. Let's cut to the cheese and get on with the show. Okay, we are back. Another one. We are doing, Rachel is with me again, and we are doing another astrology human design breakdown. If you have not watched the or listened to the previous episode, basically I posted on Facebook to have people volunteer their birth time so we could just pull up their astrology chart and riff on it for a good 15, 20 minutes, not going in blindly. I did ask a few questions on the intake form, but we have not read the answers on the intake form. And Rachel's going into this completely blindly because she knows probably no one on this list. I am Facebook friends with these people, so I do know some of you, but we're just going to pull it up, riff on it, and see how it goes. You ready, Rachel?
Yep, I'm ready.
We're ready. And by the way, if you did not listen to the last episode, Rachel is one of, did you say you're a coach in my business?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, I don't know what the exact term is. Rachel and I used to be business partners, and then
you do everything you don't.
Yeah, she just says everything. I basically went to Rachel and I said, I just want to create, consult, and consume. That's all I want to do. Create, consult, consume. Can you do everything else in the back end? And she's, I've got it. Let's go. And so then she also went with my one-on-one clients and as well as my astro messaging map, which is a 20 plus, mostly usually 30 pages, 30. But a 20, it's more 30, but it's about, 30 pages PDF where I go through your astrology and human design in a very deep level. And when I say that, I'm like, I have 40 books open and reading and how these aspects come to this and this and everything. And I just go super in deep or in depth with your chart. This call will be about a 2% of that PDF. Mm-hmm. But with those offers, Rachel does assist in the back end as well as coaching with my clients and all that because she's also very knowledgeable of astrology and human design. I would even argue she's probably more knowledgeable in astrology than me, and because we just have different gifts, and it's amazing. All right, we're going to do another chart. We are doing Elizabeth or Liz. I'm very excited. Okay, so Rachel has no idea who Elizabeth is. I do know Elizabeth, but I know nothing about, I will say this, I know nothing about her business. I don't know what she does in her business. I've never talked to her about her business. I have no idea how much money she makes or anything. I met Elizabeth at a women's retreat that was all around like personal development, but that's all I know. And I haven't had a one-on-one conversation. I don't think I've actually even had a one-on-one conversation with her longer than, oh my gosh, that was so great, thanks for sharing type thing at this event. So we truly are going in blind. All right. So I'm going to share the screen.
Okay. And I will say too, like when we're looking at charts, obviously nothing is, we're not necessarily like practicing like predictive astrology, and doesn't mean that because thing means something, like we're just talking about the energies that have potential here. It's some trends, some patterns, things that we see. Again, like it's all fluid. You could do a million different things. So regardless of whether we say like things that would make sense based on your chart, maybe it's not exactly what you do or what you want to do or whatever, but just the energies that could be brought to different things while also making just some random predictions, but like our predictions of, oh, what would make sense? Like it wouldn't surprise us if X, Y, Z was true. Yeah. You.
And I also want to preface, there's no good or bad astrology by any means. I don't believe in that. But there's patterns. Astrology and human design to me is just patterns. Me and Rachel are really good at seeing the patterns of things. Right off the bat, I chuckled because Elizabeth, you are a Capricorn rising. And I have a Capricorn stellium. So I actually, Rachel was like, don't tell me anything about her. And I literally was going to be like, oh my gosh, I like love her. And she's like, no, don't tell me anything. But I know why I love you, because you have a Capricorn rising and I'm a Capricorn stellium. However, I will say this too, being a Capricorn rising is your ascendant. Like we said in the last episode, if you did not listen, your ascendant starts your entire chart. You have 12 houses, each house represents something different. Rachel, me and Rachel have actually talked about making just a resource that breaks the simplicities of astrology down. That's something that I think we still probably should create. It's just, it's on the docket, which we can do. And where I'm not going to go into it in this episode because it's just going to be way too long. And we're trying to do these in probably like a 20, 30 minute max segment. So if you do want to go deeper, if like everything we're saying resonates and you want to go deeper, that is the PDF offer that I have that you can go through. And you get that whole PDF and you get a call, a 60 minute call that Rachel sometimes pops on as well. So we can talk about that. But all that to say, I'll just say the basic really quick of your rising starts the chart, and your rising is in Capricorn. Your rising sign is also like your first impression. It is how people who are in your one-to-one vicinity or in your group see you. Your MC, however, a lot of people talk about the MC. Your MC is your 10th house, is how other people view you from afar. So that would be like how, like Elizabeth, I didn't know you in person and I came across your Facebook profile. I would see you as a Libra, which is also really awesome because I'm a Libra rising. So I can totally see that too. I see how we jive. I totally see how we jive. However, your ascendant is more like when people are one-to-one or in your vicinity, how they see you. And Capricorns are very grounded. Pop astrology will say Capricorns are workaholics. I don't necessarily think that. What I think is they do what needs to get done because they desire the result of doing it, is what I would say in a more positive way. I like to think
that they're driven and thorough. And because driven and thorough is
great.
Yeah.
That's perfect. That's a perfect analogy. Capricorns can be a little bit stubborn, but the reason why I'm saying we because I have a Capricorn stellium. The reason why I think we are stubborn is because we really truly value details and we value the depth of things in a very strategical way so that we can be stubborn when other people don't really see it that way. So other people see us as stubborn, but we see ourselves as no, we're persistent. We're dedicated. I actually want to say dedicated. I say devoted. Devoted is probably feels way better to me than dedicated. You also have, it starts in Capricorn and you also have a little bit of the Aquarius energy in there. So you can feel a little misunderstood. Sometimes the Aquarius is like known for feeling misunderstood because they're a little out of the box. So you do feel very grounded, but you also have the kind of weirdo side to you that people do see. I would even describe that as like innovative and rebellious and like revolutionary. So you see yourself a little bit as both, and people in your vicinity can see you a little bit as both as well. Anything you want to add, Rachel?
Yeah, I think really interesting about like the Capricorn ascendant also not having like many planets or like placements.
No, there may be there, yeah.
Asteroid. There may be some other things that we don't see here, but no like personal or outer like main planets or placements here. So this is like true Capricorn energy, which again, I'm just adding this just because I think it might like resonate. I'm guessing from a very young age, you probably acted a lot more mature. And even like now in your business and like how you show up again in your relationships and like how people see you, it's probably very mature, probably very, because this is also ruled by Saturn and Saturn is very much about like structure and tradition. And yeah, for sure. I'm guessing you probably have a lot of people in your life that like view you as an old soul and someone that can like very traditional. I'm guessing even down to the way like you dress and talk and act and portray yourself. And so I'm saying all this because this will be helpful for your marketing as well. And like your brand and your brand messaging and like everything like about you and your business, definitely going to be probably a little bit more on the traditional side. But with this like being a cardinal sign too, meaning like the first, I'm guessing this is probably, you're probably a person and even in your business and like how you operate, probably like a self-starter, a go-getter, someone that is pretty like ready to go, ready to create and do and put things out there in the world. But again, not necessarily one to probably hop on a lot of trends or fads. I think it's going to be really, I'm guessing, you're the type of person who just is a little bit more of a steady presence. And in your marketing too, I think that's going to be really important that people will see you as someone that is tried and true. Like they can, they're not going to, you're not going to be changing things like a bajillion times and following all these fads and being hyped up about stuff. It's almost like you're a little, like you're quick to start for your own project, but you're slow to adopt other things out there in the world, which I think will showcase you as a very trustworthy person too, in whatever you're doing. So I thought that was like interesting to.
The, like Rachel said, your chart ruler is going to be Saturn because Saturn rules Capricorn. So we like to look at where Saturn is at in your chart.
Yes.
And you have Saturn in your fourth house, which is also in Taurus, which is more earth energy. And Tauruses love, I don't want to say luxury is the word, but like they love what, but I don't want you to think like luxury of like loud luxury. It's almost like quiet luxury. I know that sounds like really, I don't know if that's a term, but it's like quiet luxury. Yes. They're not
flaunty. Showy.
Yeah. They're not flaunty about it, but they just love the comfort. They love comfort, but they love beautiful things. Like I equate Taurus energy with old worldly comfort, if that makes sense, like beautiful art that isn't super loud, but just like very comforting. But you also have that in your fourth house, and fourth house represents home, like your home, as well as foundations, ancestors, and lineage, traditions, all of that. So with Saturn being in your fourth house, I see you also working with people to help them feel more at home in themselves or during a transitional time, because Saturn rules time. So this could be working with people who are transitioning in some way, and they might have had their whole foundation rocked. And so you're helping them rebuild their foundation during a time in their life with that. And then you also have Mercury conjunct it. Mercury is the sign of communication, the sign of subconscious thoughts and just belief system, or like the way that you think, not really belief systems, but like belief patterns, like the way that you think. With it also being right next to Saturn, this shows me that you are also going to be doing a lot of thought work with your clients and figuring out, I can see this also as like identity work of figuring out who they are now that they are transitioning, if that makes sense. That's just what's coming to me with that. You also, it is right also conjunct your Venus, and Venus rules Taurus. So this is also like maybe helping them see the beauty in their new life, or even maybe seeing the beauty before the transition. I don't know why that's coming to me, but seeing how this transition can be something super beautiful and something super comfortable. And I don't know, that's really weird. That's what's the energy of all three of those together feels like, transition and talking about the transition and allowing, digging into the thoughts of the transition and behind the scenes, right? Digging in to the subconscious, like the behind the scenes of home. I could also maybe even see this as like body work of some sort, because the body is like the physical home with the thoughts. So it could be like connecting the thoughts like with the body. I don't know why that's coming to me. Rachel, what do you think? I'm over here.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, there's, and for everyone like listening and watching too, again, as you can see, we don't have all of the answers of what's actually true, but again, and maybe it's completely opposite of what someone's actually living out, but maybe this will be an inspired, like, oh, I've always thought about that. And I've
I'm going to just preface this. No? I have read many charts and I have not had a single person ever tell me that it did not resonate.
Oh, for sure. But I'm saying like, maybe if they're not currently living in alignment to their chart,
but even if they're not in alignment, I immediately be like, oh my God, I've been thinking about doing this for years, but I just haven't done it. And so I'm like, it's in your chart.
Yeah. So all of that Taurus energy, so much happening there, right?
Oh my gosh.
So what I see is like very similar to what you're saying, Ashley, but I see that this person, real estate, anything with housing or like interior or real estate or like home, something around that idea, because there's so much energy in the fourth house, so much energy in the fifth house, which to me, it's almost like all of the houses build on each other. So I see this person probably playing a role, whether it's like in their business or in their personal life, or eventually like playing a role where someone's coming to them and they've had a lot of their, like you said, foundations
rocked. Yeah.
Yeah. And that this person is like helping them. What's her name? Elizabeth, right?
Or Liz, yeah. Liz.
Okay, it's like helping them recreate, again, rebuild their foundations and helping
rebuild
from that point. Then they have the safety to then start like doing and expressing and being themselves again in that fifth house of like self-expression and creativity and playfulness. It's something bad. Maybe things were like shattered, and then she's helping them rebuild in some capacity so that they can then go out into the world and create from a place of stability instead of like just recreating their trauma out into the world. So that's pretty vague, but that's
I'll even add too that you probably do work specifically with women because your seventh house is in Cancer, which is traditionally the sign for the mother, but you do it in almost I don't want to say you're like the fatherly figure to them, but you're more of the like cut the crap type of leader. You're very okay. You have a Cancer moon, so you relate to them emotionally, but you also get them out of their emotions and into action. But I will say this too: Taurus is an energy that doesn't make quick decisions. Taurus is someone who takes their time to really evaluate, and I don't want to say plan, but really evaluate their decisions. They aren't like Aries, on the other hand, is I'm just going to do it and I'm going to jump and build the net on the way down.
Which will feel conflicting for her.
It will feel conflicting for you. We haven't even talked about your Aries sun. But Taurus, on the other hand, when it comes to your home life or your creativity and your fun, because fifth house rules creativity and your fun, and your Mars is there in Taurus, the way you take action is when you do jump without the net, you tend to crash and burn typically versus if you were to say, hey, before I jump, I'm going to make sure that I have the net. And I'm also going to make sure that I have the backup net as well, or the parachute is basically what I'm saying, because taking time to get in your body home, taking time to get into your body and make those decisions is really going to benefit you. I haven't even looked at you're a projector in human design. We'll get there. That also makes a lot of sense. I'm gonna let Rachel talk all about projector because she's a projector and she really does. She knows so much. She's so great on them. But that's also, and so when I say that you're working with women, it's because I see your seventh house rules one-on-one partnerships, and you have it in Cancer, and Cancer is the motherly energy, but it's also the crab. So it's like imagine a crab just like snapping at your heels. They're like, go, I'm here, but I have to get you moving type energy. And your ideal client, is going to have that Cancer energy. It doesn't mean that they are a Cancer sun or whatever. It's just going to have that Cancer energy. So for example, let's say you were it's going to sound really weird, but let's say you were an art coach and you taught like women how to step into their creativity. Your clients might have Cancer in their fifth house. Does that make sense? Because it rules the fifth house rules creativity. So you might attract people who have Cancer in their fifth house, or you might attract the Cancer suns, the Cancer moons, the Cancer risings, or you might, if you're helping people in their career, they might have Cancer in their 10th house, all of those good things, but you will have some Cancer energy and you're going to connect with them through your messaging and through your marketing, more so talking about emotions and structure because your moon is there. You feel emotionally secure when you are stepping more into that kind of like emotional, talking about more of the emotional realm things. But again, you also love the strategy and the tangible things. This would almost be like, if someone were just like, oh, you need to feel enough, you would be like, how the flip do I do that? I need the step-by-step. That would be more of what you're, especially with your Mercury being in Taurus as well. Like you want the foundational strategical things, but you also see the emotion. Like you also see the emotion behind it as well. Okay, Rachel, what do you want to add?
Should we talk through
or
just
sun?
One random thing that I was gonna say? Yeah, we can talk about the Aries sun, but what one random thing I was gonna say is I don't know why, but I wonder two things. I bet this person is like a total homebody and doesn't like to travel a lot and just be home because of all of these things and the Cancer.
Yeah, it's funny. I'll say that, Rachel, because I have a fourth house stellium in an earth sign, and I don't call myself a homebody, but I take so much pride in my home.
But
my
also
home
that
has to be
moon. Mm-hmm.
Oh, the Cancer moon. Yeah, that's true. I was about to say, because I thought you were talking about the fourth house. Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. Yeah. I think they're probably very emotionally invested in their home.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, they're probably they need a safe home, a safe environment.
For sure. I'm guessing, yeah, this person is, although I wonder, I don't know. I feel like she just needs to hear this and we'll talk about like the Aries sun. I bet she feels like incredibly misunderstood in so many areas of her life because she's probably walking around like people see her one way and inside she feels the exact opposite. And so I'm guessing like, and again, this might be totally off, but like when I feel like someone needs to hear something, they usually do. So I'm just going to say it.
It's all your Cancer coming through, your Cancer.
So if you're walking around in your life and in your business and in your world and you feel like crazy, like you're not making it up, like you're obviously your chart ruler is Saturn, but with that moon being in Cancer and the moon ruling Cancer too, the moon is moving signs so frequently, like every couple of days, and it is like really impacting you. You probably feel like a different person like every couple of days. Your mood is probably all over the place. Your desires are probably all over the place.
It's very emotional authority.
Yeah. So I was going to say emotions are probably just so wild for you that it can sometimes feel like, am I crazy? Because at the same time, you have so much grounded energy and people see you as this stable, secure, solid, foundational, almost like masculine, like energy. You probably lean into that very easily, but deep down inside in your internal world, you crave just emotional maturity in people, right? You crave like having emotional stability, and that's just not really your reality being a Cancer moon. So I just wanted to throw that out there. If it feels like just crazy, but other people don't see you like that, there's a reason. And because of that, you're so intuitive and can pick up on so many things and a safe place for other people to land. So I just wanted to share that.
Yeah. And that makes sense too with your human design. You are an emotional authority. So you have consistent access to emotions, and me being an emotional authority as well. I will say as a child growing up, I was the person who they was too emotional, they would say, as a child. But then I also have the Capricorn. So I was taught that emotions, like negative emotions, were bad and that you shouldn't express negative emotions, which was so hindering to me because you are here to make decisions through your emotions, like riding your emotional wave. We haven't even gotten to your human design yet, but I'll just say this, being an emotional authority and knowing that your emotions are ruled by the moon, and like Rachel said, it's constantly changing. You are one that needs to sleep on things. And this also goes back with this Taurus, not making quick decisions. So this would mean that it could be an absolute, oh my God, yes, I'm so ready today. But then you sleep on it. And then the next morning you wake up and you're like, that probably wasn't the best decision. Did I really think that through? Probably shouldn't have done that. So instead, you are here to ride the emotional wave and let it be neutral. So if it's like a heck yes today and you go to sleep and you wake up tomorrow and it's still a heck yes, then it's a heck yes. If you wake up tomorrow and it's like, I'm unsure, then it is a no. It is a no, and you need to ride that emotional wave. And like Rachel said, it's your emotions probably feel like all over the place. And I will say this too, that we haven't even gotten into your Aries sun, but I will get into your Aries sun. I see this Aries sun, and is it technically in her third house? Yeah, it's technically in your third house of communication. And so is we're not really going to get into Chiron, but Chiron is the wounded healer. So yeah. I say this with it being in your third house rules communication, but it also rules like communities, like your neighbors and like people who are super close to you. And with this Aries sun and this very, like, you have a earth rising, a fire sun, and a water moon, which probably feels very conflicting for you. So when you're out here trying to communicate with people, you can probably feel very much against this Taurus energy too, very much of, oh my God, I have to say what I want to say and say it fast. And woo-woo. If I don't say it now, no one's going to hear it. It's almost like this fiery, overexcited type of energy in this third house. But then the moon comes in and it's like almost this like kind of softer type energy. And then the Capricorn is like more grounded. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but like, it's just, I feel lots of conflicted energy with all of these placements. And then I'll even go up to your MC with Libra being an air sign. So then people, your reputation and other people seeing you, they see you as someone who brings harmony and both. And I will even say too, I will say this. I do think that you help people see duality in things. I think, especially going back to this like transition in time, I think you help people see their life before and their life after as like the almost just duality. Like nothing is like they're, the words coming out for me is, and both, like you can have both. There's, this is crappy and this is also good type thing is what I'm seeing, especially when it comes to your marketing, your messaging, your business, is you are bringing harmony. People see you as someone who's bringing harmony and representing both, like both sides of the coin, or bringing, I hate the word balance, but bringing kind of balance to people. Do you want to talk about this? Do you want to talk more about this Aries?
Yeah. So the Aries sun, definitely, like even in the third
on her, I see too. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's where you thrive, like behind the scenes again, which is like the start of the fourth house. That's where you thrive behind the scenes. Your MC is where, like, how people view you in the public eye, whatever your reputation. And yeah, like Ashley said, there's, I see you, like your chart literally encompasses all the energies like very equally, which I think again, feel very conflicting because there's not like just one main theme here, but also so beautiful because you have the ability to, like, you are your sun in Aries. It's the first of the first. You are a natural leader. You are a natural leader in a lot of capacities, even if it doesn't feel like it, or even if it feels very much, you could be very like quick tempered, hot tempered. You could be very competitive and aggressive in nature, not necessarily always in a bad way, but again, like that, like quick to start. However, at the same time, I think that energy will serve you very well leaning into it. But again, in the third house, didn't Mike have his son in the third house too? In a fire, was he had a Leo in the third house. So it's very similar to the last episode where he had a son in the third house in a fire sign. When it comes to your, I'll relate this to your business more, like when it comes to your marketing and your messaging, very similar concept of, you do need to be very careful how you are communicating, how you are sharing the types of things, and even thinking about not being so quick to assert yourself, maybe not being so quick to assume.
She's got an open throat too. Yeah. We'll talk about that.
So quick to assume that this is very much an energy that could be like, I'm right, you're wrong, and here are all of the reasons why kind of thing. Think it can be.
That can also be Capricorn.
For sure. That's what I'm saying. So there's a lot of this energy that maybe there could be, like, if you're not careful, there could be a lot of like self-righteousness happening here. And so I think just being very mindful. Yeah, I am a leader. But again, like Ashley and I always talk about this concept of fighting for versus fighting against. So I think this energy needs to be channeled into that. Who am I fighting for? What am I fighting for? Because you could, with a lot of these placements, very easily fall into who or what am I fighting against and fighting. And that energy is like very, very, very aggressive and will not be well received, especially in the marketplace, because the marketplace sees you as Libra and they're looking at you to be that balance and harmony, to see that polarity of, like, everything Ashley said. Interestingly enough, with your ascendant and your descendant, so like your Capricorn and your Cancer, again, that is the masculine, the feminine, the father, the mother, that polarity there. People are seeing all of that in you too. And so channeling that fiery Aries sun into taking a little bit more time, breathing through things, allowing your emotions to calm down before you make a lot of decisions or have important conversations with your clients mm-hmm. or with loved ones, or just like making big decisions in your business too. Like, slow and steady wins the race here, and your Aries sun is going to be pissed off about that, but it'll fizzle. Right? Like, you'll be yeah. quick to anger, but it'll be quick to fizzle, and then you'll get your wits about you again.
Yeah. Especially with your Chiron here. And again, yeah. we're not going to go into Chiron, but Chiron is the wounded healer. And so with it being like near sun, that is some conflicting energy with how you shine. So yeah. But again, this is leadership. This is very much leadership energy here. You also have Jupiter in your 10th house of career, but it's in Scorpio, which is very much like secretive, behind the scenes, deep type of energy, but it's in your 10th house of career. So it could be like you have abundance and expansion when it comes to your career, when you go deep and like behind the scenes with things. And it's literally like you could see the line right here, and your sun is on your IC. So you probably do really resonate with being an Aries sun, because IC is how you see yourself and the MC is how other people see you. And so you probably do really resonate with the Aries, but I would basically, very similar to what Rachel said, try to incorporate a lot more of this moon and the Taurus type energy in your chart. As you were talking to Rachel, I looked, and Liz, you have a undefined throat in human design. Rachel and I have this too. I looked at this because a lot of the times I work with a lot of Aries, which I said in the last episode, I work with a lot of Aries and Leo clients. Those are my ideal clients in my chart. My seventh house is Aries and Leo is my 11th house of groups and communities. And so a lot of the times my clients also have undefined throats. And what I can find with my Aries clients is that they really, when they speak, they can be very misunderstood. They also have this urge to speak. If they're in a group of people and someone says, do you have a question or do you have a comment? You are the very first person to speak, and you tend to really value being heard. You have this deep urge to be heard and understood. But the negative, like when you're unaligned, I don't even want to say the negative, when you're unaligned, it could show up as you try to attract attention or not being able to sit in silence. This is very prevalent for me. Because if I'm in a car with someone and it's been like 10 seconds of silence, I feel, I'm like, oh God, I have to say something. It's an awkward silence type thing. But really, truly, you thrive in listening and in the silence of listening to other people, because you have this undefined, which means you are a mirror to other people's voices. You are a mirror to what they are saying. You are able to take in what they are saying and say it back to them in a way that makes sense. But I say this with your Aries sun. With that Aries sun and this open throat, you can tend to say things that come off in a way that you didn't intend to say them, is what I'm saying. I find that a lot with my Aries clients, because you guys are very passionate and you're the quick starter. And so sometimes you put your foot where your mouth is. Well, actually not sometimes, most of the time you put your foot where your mouth is. And I will say that with this undefined throat, but also having this defined head and defined ajna, this defined head, defined ajna really is, you have this consistent way of thinking and you have this consistent way of thinking. And so then having your open throat, it's very hard for you to articulate your thoughts and the way that you think in a way that makes sense to people. And I will say this as well with this open throat, and this is for me and Rachel too. People with open throats do tend to mimic other people, like what they're saying. But I want to say this is a superpower, because I understand that with my open throat, I can listen and hear what other people are saying. And then I can talk about that same thing, but with a different perspective. So you are really good at giving different perspectives, or giving your very unique perspectives, but the trouble might be for you is you don't know how to articulate exactly what that perspective is to where it lands with other people. That's just what I saw immediately with that Aries sun. And I see that with a lot of my Aries clients, is that energy of sometimes coming off a little too direct or coming off a little harsh when you're trying to say things. And then I will say too, you have a undefined G center, which means you don't have consistent energy in, I don't want to say in who you are, because that doesn't sound fun, but basically your superpower is being able to relate to anyone you're in a room with. You can shapeshift and be a chameleon to mold yourself to the person that you are speaking to or the person you are communicating with that makes them feel super safe. I think that a lot of the times this having this undefined, which I think you have undefined, Rachel, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You can tend to act a lot like the people you are around, or you have a really hard time like being like, who am I? And you're always fixated like this right here. Like you're fixated on finding identity, direction, and love. I will say having these defined, open throat, open G center is you probably tend to go into information overload because you're like, I have consistent energy to learn and think and intellectualize things. You probably intellectualize things up here, but then you find sometimes your identity and what, instead of your identity and who you are, that could also, that could be something that comes up, but you also are really great with this being open. You're really great at mirroring back who other people are. So you're literally here to help other people figure out their identity, who they are. And like we said in the last one. Yeah. And in the last one you were saying, I said like the transition. So this literally could be like finding your new identity after a certain amount of time because Saturn is there. But yeah. And then you have a undefined sacral, which means you do not have consistent energy to do. If you are working constantly, you will burn the flip out because you are a projector as well. But I will say this too, you, most people that you're probably around are generators like myself or manifesting generators, and they, we have consistent energy here to do. And so when you are, let's say you're around me, you can siphon my energy to do, but you will eventually burn out there. We already talked about your emotional center. This is your authority center. You have a defined emotional center, which means you are here to make decisions right after you ride that emotional wave. And I just lost my train of thought. You are a projector. Yep. Projector. Rachel, I will let you talk on projector because you are a projector and you can explain it because you've lived the experience your entire life over me. So yeah, let's talk about Will you dive into projector and then talk about the spleen, because you have a defined spleen as well. Even though she's an emotional projector, she has a defined spleen. And then I think she has a defined root too, right?
Yeah. Do we want to go into the rest? Do we want to go into all of that? Or do we just want to end on?
I would just say talk about projector really quick, because that is your, yeah, let's just talk about projector.
Like in your PDF, you go really deep into all of those.
I do go really deep because, yeah. So anyone listening or whatever, in the PDF, there's different gates between the centers, and these gates correlate to a planet, and then those planets correlate to your astrology chart. And so looking at those super in depth, I can even figure out what are some of the topics that if you talked about in your messaging, people would automatically be attracted to you, as well as where do those planet, what houses do those planets fall in? So that's even another, that's even like another layer as to the energy in which you can speak about them, or in the area in which you can speak about them, right? Liz, with you having all that fourth house energy, just an example, this is not the exact example, but I could say, okay, here's your gate, Mercury's here, that gate is this, and it's showing up in your fourth house with Taurus. So this means you can talk about this subject in the terms of foundational or home or generational patterns and blah, 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 and all that other stuff, right? And it'll be so unique to you. But then we also look at, okay, and here's how you can, and here's the way in which you can do it, like the actual strategy type behind it. So yeah, whew, I feel like for once I'm like tired of talking. What is going on? Okay, so just explain quick overview of projector, because I guarantee, I bet $1 million that you're probably not living in your projector. Elizabeth, you're probably not living the projector, because I haven't met a single projector in the wild, is what I'm going to say, in the wild, that is fully embodied their projector if they didn't know they were a projector, because most projectors tend to want to be generators or manifesting generators or even manifestors. So they tend to be around, and I will even say this straight up, Elizabeth, I probably know this to be true because you have an open G center and an open throat. If you are surrounding yourself with manifestors, manifesting generators or generators, you will tend to speak like them, act like them, and do like them because you have all of these open, and then you get really bitter because you're not getting the same results that they're getting through the actions that they're taking, or you're not, people aren't paying attention to you when you say it, but everyone's loving it when they say it, or like all that. So anyways, okay. Projector.
Yeah. Okay. So I really am just going to give a basic overview because there is just no way to actually synthesize this, because this is like your identity, like really who you are and how everyone perceives you in the world. And seriously, like for anyone watching, you have to just get Ashley's PDF, get in line to, she only does a couple a month, but get in line, yeah, for sure.
Toot my own horn there.
Overview. Yeah. Basic overview, as a projector, you are considered a non-energy type, meaning you don't have access to that sacral energy, the generators and manigens, who are like 70-ish percent of the population. So that's a lot of people. And like Ashley said, you have a lot of openness. You do have a lot of definition in your chart too, which might seem like you have more energy, access to energy, than you actually do, because you do have some of your motor centers defined. I'm not going to dig into what those all are right now, but you do have a lot of your motor centers, like energy centers, defined. And so you will feel like you have access to a lot of energy. Some of the energy is like not your own because you don't have that like battery power of that like sacral energy. However, the most important thing that I want to talk about very briefly about projector is the strategy and the authority, and which is whether you know a lot or a little about human design, that is just like bread and butter always, the strategy and the authority. So the strategy is the, or thinking about like waiting for the invitation. I don't even actually want to talk about authority as much because you already touched on a lot of that with the emotional, Ashley. The strategy, waiting for the invitation, is incredibly important. And I want to preface that by saying it's not just waiting for an invitation, it's waiting for recognition for a correct invitation. And the most interesting thing about a projector, I think, not the most, but one of the most interesting things, is just how your aura works in general. Your aura, if you think about coming out of like the center of your body, is just like this cone of light that is like basically like pinpointing, penetrating, it's literally called a penetrating aura, into the G center. Ashley, if you want to hover over like that G center, that identity center of other people. And so just like intense is like the one word that I can describe a projector, like intense and deep and very knowing. And so you just like naturally are a guide, are a leader, and just know things, like things, like things, even if you didn't ever hear them specifically from someone, you just know things about other people, and just have a lot of knowledge and wisdom as well. The amazing thing about that is that you have a lot of knowledge and wisdom and can see people very deeply. The bad thing is that if you are not recognized for that knowledge or wisdom or your gifts or talents, or recognized for who you are, and rather than what you can do, like the amount of work you could get done, if you're not recognized for that and properly actually invited into guiding other people, you don't need invitations for like just your everyday things, but for, I'm in a business context, you do need to be recognized and invited to guide someone, to help someone, to work with someone, to like deeply see them and know them. Otherwise, especially with that undefined identity center, that undefined throat, it is literally going to be just a recipe for disaster, for burnout, and for bitterness, which is like the most, it's like the nastiest feeling for yourself and for other people. Is a burnt out, bitter projector is like someone that is incredibly repelling. On the other side of the coin, like holding back, like speaking less, listening more, and allowing your energy to be naturally received by others or naturally rejected by others without taking it personally, is going to be the most beneficial for you. Focusing on like recognizing yourself, which again, all of this sounds like pop human design, which is all I can give you in a couple minutes, but recognizing yourself and seeing yourself for your own talents and gifts, and like pouring into yourself through rest and fun and ease and play, and all of those things will make you a very magnetic projector. And I think there's no better like design than like a magnetic projector, and there's no worse person to be around than a bitter projector, because that really is, again, like Ashley said, you're going to have a desire to just speak and share, and you will not be seen, you will not be heard, you will not be recognized, and which will cause that cycle to just continue to grow. Like, why am I have all of this knowledge, but no one's paying attention? And then you grow bitter, and then that just that cycle continues. And it's very like bare bones of that. But I think mastering your projector energy is honestly like one of the hardest, but like most rewarding things, because it is so just you, whether you know it or not, like all your life experiences and other people's reactions to you will tell you everything you need to know. Like when you are in alignment and you are your magnetic self and not trying to be or do more than you are and not trying to prove yourself to other people and are just sitting back and waiting, not passively, but just living your life, waiting for the things to come to you. Success is your theme and it will fall into your lap every single time at the perfect time. You do not have to go and initiate and chase and create things, which might feel out of alignment a little bit with your natal chart, being that your sun is in Aries. Yeah, and
I just looked, I'll add this too, because this is something that I do within the PDF, as I look at what gates are in your planets, right? And your sun is in Aries, and the gate that's in Aries, that's in the sun, is gate 42, which is the gate of growth. And so there's like tremendous growth for you. It literally called the middleman. It's tremendous growth for you in like being the middleman, and the middleman's job is to listen and then communicate to the next person. Again, that's like going a little bit deeper, but it's coming from your sacral, which is what you're here to do. It's your energy to do, your center to do. And so this is very important for you to do in your life through the energy of that Aries sun. And that Aries sun again is in your third house, which is the sign of communication. So yeah, thank you, Rachel. That was all so great. So let's read the form. Okay. The form, I said, please tell me a little bit about your business. She said, I am the midlife queen, helping women transition into this new season and embrace their legacy. I will say this too. Capricorn is all about legacy. I didn't even like harp on that. And fourth house, generational. What are you leaving on this planet? Legacy is deals with generation, right?
Generational. Oh my gosh.
And transition.
The midlife queen, yes.
The midlife queen. So perfect, 100%. And no, she didn't ask any other. I'll make sure that I blur out that address. Sorry, Elizabeth, for sharing that. I'll make sure that I blur that out. So anyways, is that not crazy? Okay. So yeah, there you go, Elizabeth. This was so much fun. I hope that it all resonated. I'm really loving the not reading the, which is funny because I asked it to say, hey, so we can be a little bit more specific when we read it. But now I'm like, no, this is actually really fun because how much of it aligned. But yeah, Elizabeth, I hope that was helpful. And again, like I said, this is like we probably went 4% with yours. If you are interested in going a lot deeper and getting into the nitty gritty specifics, because you are a Capricorn, so I know that you love those things, because I'm a Capricorn too. The PDF offer, I have that, guys. Again, I'll link it below.
Yeah. You dig into the mechanics and the strategies of
things. Yes, I do.
You can actually do. So it's not just like a bunch of random information. It's okay.
No.
How this, it all ties together, and taking this and making it tangible and practical and like applicable. Yeah. You literally take action after you read it.
I also too have more information on the person that I'm doing, right? So I can specifically say, if I knew this while I was creating her chart, I would have said, okay, I would have even asked her, what are some of the obstacles you're having when it comes to actually articulating this to your people, like the value of what you offer? And so I can even go and look again in specific parts of the chart, but I break the PDF down into 5 parts. The first is like your energy. And I would say like this call is basically going into your energy in a way. Yeah. It's just kind of surface level, like your energy. But yeah, we go into your energy, then we go into your business's energy. So we, even if I haven't done this yet, but if you do have the time that you created, like the date and the time that you created your business, I can literally pull an astrology chart for your business and see what all aligns. I haven't done that yet, but I could totally do that if you haven't. Most people don't. But I do your business. And that is specifically like how you should operate your business, how your business should operate. Because again, each person has a seventh house and 11th house, and seventh can talk about one-on-one, 11th can talk about a group, but you might have a ton of planets in the seventh house to where like one-on-one or like one-on-one type of clients might be a little bit more difficult to you. You might have aspects there, right? That you don't feel more comfortable with one-on-one. So how can we then be like, okay, let's focus on group, because you might have Jupiter in your group and you're like, God, you were made to speak to groups type thing. So we do your business energy, and then we do your voice vibe. So we go very specific into your particular voice. So we dig very deep into that Mercury sign. Then we also dig into all the gates and the channels within that Mercury sign, as well as the aspects to that Mercury sign. And then we look at your third house and we look at your 11th house, because again, that rules like social media and stuff too. And then we go into, and we talk about your marketing, like how you, like your brand messaging, your messaging within your marketing. Then we talk about your offer. We talk about, because that actually shows in your chart, how we can figure out what would be the perfect offer for you based off of your business energy and based off of your energy. What is a solid offer that we can create that speaks perfectly to your ideal client? And your ideal client is the fifth thing that we go through, because we really want to make sure what is their energy. We can look at the seventh house, we can look at the 11th house, but again, there could be aspects there. And I even also look at what is currently going on during the time of me doing this PDF. What are the aspects right now? Right now, we have a ton of stuff in Aries, right? This is what's going on. Might not be a great time if you've got that Aries there. It might not be a great time to launch your offer, right? And then also Mercury right now is retrograde. If you were born with a Mercury retrograde, you might feel a little more comfortable right now versus everybody else feels like mush when they're trying to speak. I have a Mercury retrograde and I actually get way more content done. I'm way more fired up during a Mercury retrograde. But we're looking at those aspects too, because it is very specific to you. No one's chart is the same. I don't know two Aries suns that are the exact same. They show up with the different flavors and all that. But yeah, that is how deep we go into the PDF. And that PDF is a standalone offer, but I also have one-on-one, and I'm in the process of creating a group, which I'm really excited. And the group will go into the specifics of, not only will I do your PDF for you in the group, but you will also be able to, there will be trainings on how you can actually do this for yourself and be able to like look at the different patterns and different things like that. But yeah, it's going to be really great. So I have that. And then the one-on-one, when you do work one-on-one, we pull your chart. That's the very first thing that we do so that we know when we're working together, how we can implement all that. And I'm literally there to implement. Just this morning, we had a one-on-one call and I literally came to the call and I was like, I have created literally like four archetypes for you. It all came out of my brain. And then we like brainstormed and we did stuff. So you have me and Rachel there being able to help implement and create with you while you're doing it. And yeah, so anyways, it's really fun. I could talk about this all day long, but I hope you found this helpful.
Well, this was fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like not knowing. I'm just like, ooh, like, just like walking up to someone on the street and like to reading into their soul. That's
it's like astrology roulette. Who are we going to choose? This random person. And so it's fun. You know, like I said, I do know them, but I don't like know a lot of these people. I've just seen them from afar. So I'm seeing their MC. And so it's funny to see this. I'm like, oh, this is fascinating. Oh, this is really cool. So anyways, yeah. But we will do more of these. We've got, I think we have 11 people fill out the form. Yeah, we're up to 11 people fill out the form already, but we do also have a lot of other people interested on the chat. They just haven't put their information in. So we will try. Maybe we can try to get to all of them, Rachel. Like, this is really fun. I could totally do it. It's an easy episode and it's super cool for you guys to see the behind the scenes.
For sure.
And you might find yourself being like, oh my God, that's so me too. Oh my gosh, that sounds so much like me with certain aspects. But yeah. Awesome. All right, guys.
Fun.
I need some water. I will see you on the next episode. Bye.
Well, friend, it's been an absolute blast making a big stink with you. If you find yourself gasping for more, then check out my resources page linked below. Cheers to creating messaging as powerful as you and the work that you do, and I'll see you in the next episode.